And we're in a series called Great Expectations, and I'm excited because I really see this as a series to help build our faith. And the reason that we want to build our faith, I believe that's a constant and ongoing need and desire. It's not that we're getting weak. It's not that we are somehow spiritually emaciated. It's nothing like that. It's that we want our faith to be strong so that we can believe for the big things that God has for us. We believe, we anticipate, we expect what it is that God wants to do, to expect the unexpected, to reach for that and to know that God has something more, something awesome, and we don't want to miss it because we have a lack of faith. And so the last couple of weeks, as we have taught this series, we have talked about the timing of God and how that God does things in certain seasons, and he does things at certain times, and we really believe that this is our season. We really believe that this is our time. There is a freshness, there is a newness, there is an excitement around the church, and we know that we're in the will of God and in the timing of God. And then we've talked about God raising and redefining our expectations. Raising and redefining our expectations. You remember the man in Acts 3 who was sitting beside the gate. He was asking alms. He was hoping they would put some coins into his cup. But of course, God raised and redefined his expectations to realize that he could have more than just coins in his cup, but that he could actually have strength in his paralyzed legs. And that he could actually accomplish and see more than he ever thought possible. And certainly we know that's what God wants to do for us, raise and redefine our expectations. We've read the last couple of weeks from Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. He says, "Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Each week we've read this. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Why? Because I am doing a new thing. There's things I want you to forget. There's things I want you to put behind you once and for all. Things that I want you to leave in the past once and for all, and accept the new thing that I am doing. But here's the reality. Remember not, and new thing preach easier than they live. They preach easier than they live. It's easy for me to say, hey, just forget that. Forget what happened and reach for the new, but it's actually harder than it sounds. We need to cover that because being caught in the middle creates disappointment. Being caught between remember not and new thing, it creates this disappointment, and life demands that we deal with disappointments. Otherwise, they turn into emotional and sometimes physical and often spiritual issues that we do not want in our lives. I think it's fair to say that many people's current issues stem from past disappointments. Many of the things that we're carrying, many of the things that we're wrestling with, many of the challenges that we're currently facing, if we were to source their origin, if we were to research and figure out where that came from, why we're feeling the way that we're feeling, we would trace it back to a past disappointment that was never resolved, never dealt with, never taken care of. And I think oftentimes the enemy uses disappointments as a weapon. uses our disappointments. He uses our sadness. He uses those things that get us down, and if we're not careful, it can become a spirit of disappointment. Rather than a season of disappointment or a day of disappointment, we start fighting this spirit of disappointment. So I'm teaching today, it's a season, not a spirit. It's a season, not a spirit. Whatever disappointment you have faced, whatever challenge you have faced, whatever difficulty you have faced, it is temporary. The Bible calls it momentary. The Bible says it's a light affliction. It's not meant to get you down. It's not intended to bury you. It's not powerful enough to take you out unless you allow it to do so. Get this in your heart today. It's a season and not a spirit. But how do we deal with disappointments? How do we deal with them? This time last Sunday, I testified on this stage while teaching that we sold our house, and everyone clapped and was excited, and you've rejoiced with us all week long, and not only sold our house, but sold our house for $2,500 over the asking price. Guess what? They backed out. Disappointment. Frustration. What? What is going on? I'm telling you, if I told you all the things the enemy's done in the last 7 days, I mean, he's been cute this week. He's definitely tried his best. But if I was to have that happen in my life and realize, all right, we're back to square one, or now we're starting over. Man, I got up and testified. That was exciting. Hundreds of people were clapping and saying, yeah, this is great. It's the will of God. And look now, you look like a fool. You look silly. It's disappointment. But you don't allow the enemy to come in and say, you are a fool. No, I'm not. I'm disappointed that they backed out. But if you think that is going to control my faith, if you think that is going to get the best of my worship, that's just a season. It's just a thing. It's just a decision that someone made. I can't take that personal. I can't take so many of the things that happen to me in life personally. I just have to roll with it to say, you know what? Things happen. Life happens. Things come. What am I going to do? I'm going to keep reaching toward the things of God. Because it's a season, not a spirit. Proverbs 13 and 12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when desire comes, it is a tree of life. What is the wise man saying? Hope that is deferred, or hope that is delayed. Hope delayed creates frustration. It creates anger. It creates so many of the emotions that we readily feel when disappointment comes into our life and just really gets the best of us. How are we supposed to respond to that? Because he says, when desire comes, or when the promise is fulfilled, man, that's a blooming tree. That is a fruit-bearing tree. That is a tree that can just withstand the wind. And we would much rather live in the place of promise fulfilled. We would much rather live in the place of house sold for $2,500 more than the asking price, because we don't want to deal with the disappointments of life. How do we deal with those? What do we do about disappointment? How do we overcome disappointment? I hope that we're going to answer that question before we wrap today. How can we overcome disappointment? I think many of the answers are found in Matthew 11. It's an interesting story. Matthew 11, John the Baptist, who has been the forerunner. He's been the one preparing the way for Jesus. Matthew 11 is a much different story. Of course, John baptized Jesus. He was there. He was a part of the beginning. But in Matthew 11, beginning at verse 2, the Bible says, John the Baptist who was in prison. John the Baptist, who was in prison, heard about all the things the Messiah was doing. John the Baptist is in prison. Disappointment has been born. Disappointment is working in his life. Me, John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus, the one who said, I'll decrease so that he can end. Why am I in prison? Why is this happening to me? How did my life turn out this way? How did I end up in this condition? How did I end up in this place? It has been a disappointment because this is not how I planned for my life to go. So this is what John does. He sent his disciples to ask Jesus. Verse 3, are you the Messiah we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Are you the Messiah, or should we just keep our eyes peeled because someone else may be coming? This is ironic because the very one who introduced Jesus, the Messiah, to the world is now asking if he is the Messiah. Think about that for a moment. The one whom God used to prepare the way. The one who God chose to say, I want you to announce, I'm going to whisper some things to you, John. You're going to have revelation. You're going to know who he is before anyone else does. And I'm going to allow you to introduce him. That one who introduced Jesus as the Messiah. Remember, I'm not worthy to unlatch the shoes from his feet. That John is now saying, hey, I'm so disappointed. I don't even know if you are the Messiah. I know I said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. First, we hear the disappointment, but now you can hear the doubt. You can hear the doubt in the wording of John, because that's what my circumstances do to me sometimes. They make me question God. They make me wonder if he's really real, if he really did call me, if he really did purpose this for my life. In my circumstances, they do a number on me. But hear me. I know a lot has been said today. I know this service has ebbed and flowed and climbed and descended, and so many wonderful emotions have led us to where we are right now. But I want you to hear this. If you need to make a note, if you need to type it into your phone, if you need to ask your spouse to remind you of what it is that I'm saying, I don't want you to leave here not knowing this, because life is going to happen. It's going to rain on the just and on the unjust. The wind is going to blow, but I cannot lose my faith. No matter what life throws at me, no matter what happens around me, no matter who disappoint me, no matter who lets me down, no matter who fails me, I cannot lose my faith. I can't lose my faith. I believe I'm speaking to people in this room today who know what it feels like to lose faith, to lose heart, to lose your passion through all that you've seen and all that you've gone through. But I hear the Lord trying to speak a word into your spirit and hope into your life that would say you can believe again. It doesn't have to be a spirit of disappointment. You don't have to wake up wondering what disappointment is going to come into my life today. Who's going to fail me? Who's going to let me down? Who is going to disappoint me? No, I can wake up every day expecting something great from God. I need to remember the old song that said, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. Doesn't matter what I'm facing. doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter what I'm dealing with. I am going to keep my faith. Are you the Messiah that we've been expecting, or should we look for someone else? And listen to what Jesus told them, how Jesus answered them. Verse 4, go back and tell John what you have heard and seen. This is how I want you to answer that question. Go to John and tell him what you have heard and seen. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. And he added, God blesses those who do not fall away because of me. Oddly enough, Jesus keeps working miracles. What? What did John say? Hey, blind man, come here. Be whole. What? What did John ask? Come here, lame man, stand up. Get up. Leprosy, what did he say again? Am I the Messiah? Come here, man, with leprosy, you're cleansed. Go show yourself to the priest. Deaf, this man can't even hear what you're asking. Tell me again what John asked. You be healed. Go. Miracle after miracle. You just tell John what you have heard and what you have seen. Why is that so important? Let me tell you why that's important. Because in John 3 and verse 32, John's own disciples, right after Jesus began to work in the ministry and began to do those things, John's own disciples came and they were so disappointed. This is a fascinating story. Read it in John 3. They were disappointed because many of their disciples, many of the people that had been following John, were now following Jesus. And suddenly they weren't baptizing as many people, and they looked across the valley and saw Jesus at another pool, and he was baptizing, and more people were following him. And they came and they said, John, we're disappointed. We've been working so hard to build this ministry. We've been working so hard to get people to follow and to repent and to do what you've been preaching. And John said, in chapter 3 and verse 32, he testifies about what he has seen and heard, but how few believe what he tells them. Jesus is echoing John's previous experience. Remember when your disciples were disappointed and you said, hey guys, pay attention to what you see and what you hear. That's what I'm going to tell you, John, in your hour of disappointment. Tell him what you've seen and what you've heard. Remember, John, you're the one who heard. Upon whomever you see the Holy Spirit descend and remain, he is the Christ. John was baptizing Jesus, and a dove came and lit upon Jesus, signifying this is the Messiah. That's what he saw with his eyes. And then the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. John both saw and heard. And Jesus is reminding him, nothing has changed. I know rain began to fall in your life. I know wind began to blow in your life. I know circumstances arose and disappointments came into your life. But do not forget who I am. Listen, I am convinced if I can remember who Jesus is through every single day of my life, if I can remember who Jesus is through everything that I deal with and go through, no matter how heavy the weight is upon my shoulders, if I can just keep in perspective who Jesus is in my life, then I have beat the enemy at his own game. He can't weigh me down enough. He can't disappoint me enough. Why? Because it's just a season. It's not a spirit. I refuse to carry that in my heart. And when you live in freedom, then disappointments can't take you to the bottom. Bad news and sad days cannot get the best of your faith. So here's the question we asked earlier: how can I overcome disappointment? There is an answer. I want to give you the answer. In fact, I'm going to give you four things today that I think will help you, and I'll do this very quickly, and then we'll be dismissed. It's important to remember that overcoming disappointment is all about voice and vision, all about what I see and what I hear. It's what you hear God say and what He allows you to see. Pastor Mark talked about that earlier. Word is a light for my path, a lamp to my feet. I have answers in the Word, what God allows me to hear Him say and what He allows me to see. So number one is remember what you've seen and heard. If you want to overcome disappointment in your life, remember what you've seen and heard. I wonder if there's any test. How many have ever seen God do the miraculous in your life? Are there any hands? I see a few. Yeah. Oh, many, many people have seen the Lord do the miraculous. And maybe you've had God speak something into your life. Maybe you've received a personal word from the Lord in your life. You've heard God give you a promise. I'm thinking of someone right now that many, many years ago, God gave them a word. And I've had the privilege of reminding them when disappointments come and when challenges come. Hey, do you remember the word that you told me about that God gave to you? Oh yeah, what was I thinking? What happened? The disappointments just begin to mount up, and then I started doubting the word of God. Listen, do not forget what you have seen and what you have heard, because this is the truth. The miracles that I have seen help me to believe for the miracles that I need. The things that I have witnessed God do in my life, the ways in which I have seen Him move in my life, they build my faith for what I need God to do right now in my life. So I have to remember what I've seen and heard. Number two, I need to evaluate what I now see and hear. I need to evaluate. I need to remember it, but now I need to evaluate what I'm seeing right now and what I'm hearing right now. John is in prison, and Jesus is healing the sick and raising the dead. And John is thinking, if you can do that for them, why don't you deliver me? I would imagine there was some crazy sinner whose house sold this week, and their buyer hasn't backed out. And here I am at the church every day, loving Jesus and loving you, and why am I disappointed? David said, my feet almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When I saw people just getting ahead, following behind somebody that was doing 95 miles an hour, and I was doing 90 miles an hour, and I got pulled over, and look at them. Have you ever thought like that? What about me? I need to evaluate what it is that I'm seeing and what it is I'm hearing, because I have this choice. I can either get bitter about my circumstances. I can either allow myself to get angry over my circumstances, or I can celebrate what God is doing in your life. I can rejoice with them that withdraw. Don't be a hater about God's blessings on someone's life. Celebrate them. Thank God. Congratulate them. And just know, hey, my turn is coming. I'm going to see the salvation of the Lord. I'm going to see the blessing of the Lord. Why? Because I remember what I've seen and what I've heard. And God is no respecter of persons. If He'll bless you, He's going to bless me. If He'll work for you, He's going to work for me. This is not a spirit of, this is just a season. And number three, perhaps the most important, I need to choose to listen to the right voices. I got to make sure I'm being influenced by the right people. John's disciples were jealous that their followers were leaving to follow Jesus. But they missed John saying, he must increase and I must decrease. The whole point is that the followers we've amassed would go and follow him. They're graduating. They're going on to greater things. Who am I to be disappointed? I got to make sure that I'm listening to the right voices. Because, see, other people were trying to set expectations for John. Got to be so careful with this. Don't allow someone else's faith to set your expectations for what God wants to do in your life. Because they may be filtering their faith. They may be talking about what they've gone through and a testimony and an encouraging word. All of that is so wonderful. But sometimes I've learned that misery loves company and people don't want you to get ahead because they're not ahead. They want you to be their friend that's just a little worse off than they are. Because we like to compare ourselves among ourselves. I'm teaching good today. Guard who has voice in your life, who has influence in your life. Set boundaries. Set personal boundaries. There are names and numbers in this phone right here. I've got them saved, but if their name comes up on this screen, they're trying to call me, I'm going to act like I'm busy. You can church me, disappoint. There's just some people I don't need to talk to. Because it's not going to edify. It's not going to build me. I'm going to hang up the phone and be in worse condition than I was when I answered. So the caller ID, it's not there so I can know how to reach out to them. It's there so I can know how to stay away from them. These tools, God gave us these tools. God gave us the caller ID. Got to use that thing to your advantage. Pastor, I've been trying to call you. You must have my number saved. No, I was just busy that time, promise. Cross my heart. Guard, set boundaries. Don't believe everything you read on Facebook. Selah. Set boundaries about who has voice in your life and who's allowed to set expectation in your life. And number four, allow God to redefine your expectations. Allow God to redefine your expectations. How? According to his purpose. So many things that are not of God are feeding our expectations. We read this, we hear that, we think this. Don't forget the Bible says that your heart will deceive you faster than anything else. You can't always follow your feelings. You have to allow God to define expectation in your life. You begin to pray things like, God, what do you have and want for my life? How do you want to work in my life? Get a word from God. Belittling or sidestepping the power of someone else coming and giving us a word. I've taught in this series how that is effective and it's helpful and it's needful. We need the gifts of the Spirit in operation. But listen, those things are only a confirmation of what God has already established in your life. I need to get somewhere in prayer. I need to get somewhere in consecration to say, God, what are you speaking to me. Then when that word comes, when that voice comes, it has to be filtered through what God has already given to you. Because you've allowed God to define your expectations. What are you wanting to do in my life? How are you wanting to move in my life? Hear me today. A season of disappointment doesn't have to turn into a lifetime of sadness. Doesn't have to. You say, well, I hear about the devil, sly old fox, getting this person with this great sin and getting this person to fall into that great trap. Listen, the enemy is most effective with small foxes. The Bible says they're what destroy the vine. Just disappointment. And then lying to me and convincing me that every day of my life is going to be a day of disappointment. I rebuke the enemy. I set you free of what he says, what he wants you to think, what he wants you to believe. God is defining my expectation. What does he believe about me? He believes I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. I'm blessed coming in and going out. I am his child. Father, I pray for people in this house today. People who have been disappointed. Circumstances have challenged our faith to the point that we're at church and Lord, I believe, but it's my unbelief that I'm struggling with. I'm a walking contradiction. I'm faithful, but I'm not faith-filled. I'm here, but I'm not here. I break chains today. I break curses today. I break the expectation of disappointment today.